Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
How are you doing?
I'm awesome. Yourself?
I'm tired. I feel like we've been laboring in the kingdom of God so faithfully.
Yeah.
But I'm also renewed.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel to everyone listening to us right now, and maybe it's been a season of a lot of work, a lot of labor, and you sitting there thinking maybe you should still be asleep in bed somehow, but you have bills to pay. My brothers and sisters, the Lord renews our strength.
Amen.
The Lord renews our strength, and we just want to encourage you to not give up, to keep fighting, and to trust that, you know, you are in God's will. You are in God's will.
Amen.
You know, I know we weren't meant to open that way, but that's just for you. Today, we're actually going to have a very interesting topic. My wife, what are we talking about?
So if you watched last week's episode, you would see we went straight into the men, and it was called Men and Their Stuff. And I believe, Danny, you have questions for me today with regards to women and their stuff. So we don't get to get a pass.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to talk about us.
Mm-hmm. I have a lot of questions. Number one is, who owns the hair? I want to get in trouble today. You know?
If you bought it, it's yours.
If you bought it,
that's the
yours.
Answer to that question.
Is that still the answer?
That's still the answer.
Okay, so 2020, COVID didn't change nothing.
No, not
okay.
at all.
All right. Gentlemen, if they bought their hair, it's still theirs. But we're going to go straight into scriptures.
Yeah.
And my wife, I think this one is going to be quite an interesting balance.
Yeah.
Okay. 1 Peter 3 verse 1 says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, and so that because I've opened up the Amplified Bible, it's going to raise a lot of things that we don't want to touch. But let's go to verse 2,
okay?
When they see your modest and respectful behavior, together with your devotion and appreciation, love your husband, encourage him, and enjoy him as a blessing from God. Your adornment must not be merely external, you know. Now, the fact that scripture had to mention that already is an indication of where we're going, okay?
But before mm-hmm. you continue, mm-hmm. I think scripture had to mention that because it's a gift. It's a gift that God has given us women
yes.
to adorn ourselves, to do the makeup, to wear the attire, to do the hair. And I think that's why the scriptures had to say, don't just do that.
Yes, because we as men understand that. That's the time where we use for intercession. In the mall, and you're sitting and waiting for your wife, and you know, they're changing things 2 hours later. That intercession time is very important, you know. So we believe that, and maybe before we move on to what I actually want to raise, it's actually very important for women to do this, especially married women, you know. So maybe my first question is, why is it that in a lot of cases, married women stop adorning themselves for their husbands?
I think Danny woke up today and chose violence, guys.
We're asking for the men. I read this question. Someone sent it. It's not from me.
So last week, having spoken about men and their stuff, it's really about, how do we as men and women who are made in the image of God, it's the perfect will of God, how do we navigate this world while simultaneously keeping the holiness that God requires from us and, you know, the leading of the Spirit? Mm. And with regards to the question of marriage and appearance, I think you're actually raising it because we do a lot of counseling and it's something that comes up a lot. So if that's the background to that question. Personally, I think it's the perversion of the world that enters our relationships and puts us in a place where we just don't want to do that. It's much deeper than just, oh, I don't want to, I'm lazy now, I've got a lot to do. But I think that the foundation of the marriage itself, what do they value? What are they going through? What are the stresses? What are the, you know, frustrations?
Is there
communication, the children, the busy schedule? It's a lot more than not just not wanting to or giving up, because it comes up a lot as if, oh, you stop doing anything because we're married. But everything has a foundation. Everything has a start. Sometimes you don't feel appreciated in that situation. As a woman, you don't feel appreciated in the marriage at all. And it begins to show in how you adorn yourself for your husband. Because remember, the adornment is not for the husband necessarily. The adornment is who we are, a lot of us as women, right? But there's an aspect of it where men can feel like there's no adornment for me. And that's what I'm talking about, right? The lack of effort, I think, is what it comes off as. That's got more to do with what's actually happening in the home than women just waking up and saying, oh, I don't want to do this for you anymore.
Can it also be that, because I've heard this off the pulpit a couple of times, and it didn't really sit well with me when, you know, there's so much emphasis on the inner beauty that it's almost like there's an implication that godly men or husbands should not appreciate the outer beauty. It's almost like we're not men anymore, you know. And as a man, I would like to petition and say that we, when part of the love languages, one part of the makeup of a man,
what attracts us to a female
okay. is the way they look.
Okay.
You know, so I think it's rather misleading that we've pressed so much on this inner beauty to an extent that we neglect, especially in the church, the outer beauty. Or we borrow from the world, which is like this over-sexualized beauty.
Yes, I want to talk about that.
I really want you to touch on that. Like, how can our wives understand that we want them beautiful and it's important for us, but we also not looking, our beauty is not
conform to this world in the way that the world would say beautiful. I think it's interesting that in 1 Peter 3, it's a very balanced scripture to say don't only do this, but also focus on what's happening inwardly. And that scripture does that a lot, even with fasting. The scripture will say, is a better fast not to actually care for the poor and feed the hungry and take care of the widows. So God is very much on earth as it is in heaven. There is that balance to say what's happening in the spirit should show forth physically. And within kind of the church setup or how we've been conditioned to think about holiness as women, a lot of the times we're told, oh, just neglect everything that has to do with your outside appearance and just focus on the inside. And it's not just for married women. I think it's also for women who are single, who are looking for, you know, partners. We've had situations before where someone is believing God for a husband, but they do not appear in a way that they can be seen. Now, God can bypass all those things. It's not about being materialistic and adorning. You know, it's exactly the scripture. Don't just do this, but also do this. So if you're in a place where you are trusting God for a mate, then adorn yourself as if you're, you know, searching for a mate. But that being said, I personally think the adornment, you know, women and their stuff, there's so much emphasis on it in the world that there's this shift. Like, if you want to be with the Lord, you almost feel like you can't do anything of it at all. Because what's happening in the world is so far off that it warps your perspective even of God. But I want to get into that a little bit later. Because when the world keeps telling you, oh, if you don't have rent, somebody will pay it for you. Because that beauty does attract. That beauty is anointed. You know, today I really want to focus for women and their stuff on the anointed beauty. And I'm not talking about a physical beauty. I'm talking about a beauty that is in the eye of the person that beholds you, right? So when you find favor with somebody because there's something about you that attracts them to you, what is then your responsibility with that amount of, I don't want to call it power or control, but gifting, being aware of the gifting. And just because somebody has an affinity to you doesn't mean they take the place of God. I think that's the part of women and their stuff that I would really like to speak to, because we live in a society where if you look at the woman and her son who were going to have their last meal and die, that was a single mother. And we live in a world that says, oh, do whatever you have to do to take care of your children. So if you're compromising who you are in the Lord to take care of your children, oh, that's fine. We even congratulate single moms that do this. We say, oh, she's not living the life that's the best, but don't judge because she has to do what she has to do to take care of her children. But when we look in scripture, we see a single mother that was willing to die if God didn't come through for her through the prophet that then came to her home, right? Why didn't she just go out and say, no, somebody out here probably, you know, likes me or has an affinity to me. Let me just go get what I can get. And so that's what I'm talking about with the responsibility we have as women with how we carry that gifting, because it can be perverted as well. So the balance.
The balance. And also, we shouldn't... And this is also a second problem where you'll find in the church where if a woman is beautiful, before long she'll be labeled Jezebel. It's almost like anything that has to do with beauty is demonized. Yet when we look at Esther's story, God actually gives her instructions on how to adorn herself, how to prepare herself, you know, and... It's almost like because we've seen women use their beauty wrongly in the world.
No, I would change that, because the world has perverted the idea of what beauty is.
Yes.
Because if you grow up in a context where you're told this is how you carry your beauty, you won't know any better. So you're living in a perpetual perversion of what it means to be beautiful and how that beauty is perceived by the world. So you don't even really know that this is not how it's supposed to be. And because of that, in our spaces, the holy spaces, whenever you see a beautiful person, you're just thinking, ah, Jezebel. I remember when we first got engaged, so I wasn't in ministry, he was a pastor already. He would counsel people, and I didn't have any concept of what is this, let's sit and let's counsel, let's talk. And some of the people he would counsel were very beautiful women, women who I thought were beautiful. So I began to feel very insecure. Why is he talking to these beautiful people like for 5 hours at a time in a room alone? And I remembered hearing the Lord saying, beautiful people need counseling too. And it humanized that whole thing for me. And it showed me in that moment that the world has villainized a certain look for a woman to the point that she can't be anointed. She can't be walking with the Lord. She can't even need whatever helping is coming from God, because there's a label that's put on those types of appearances.
And can that also be the reason why you'll find that godly women will now distance themselves from adornment, you know, not wanting to almost associate themselves with beauty in any way or form, when beauty actually comes from the Lord? Are you hearing me? Now, when you go into the scripture, so I've heard people emphasize your adornment must not merely be external, and as if this is saying it must not be. Okay. And then there are things that are listed with interweaving, elaborate knotting of the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or being superficially preoccupied with dressing in expensive clothes. But let it be the inner beauty of the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality and unfading charm of a gentle, peaceful spirit. You know, it's literally touching on the things that the world exaggerates or perverts. So how does a godly woman separate the perverse views to find the balance? Because in the end of the day, as husbands, the adornment is good.
Mm-hmm.
We want our wives to adorn themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something that we appreciate. And when you were speaking earlier, I actually wanted to give an example that once happened to us,
mm-hmm.
that actually told me there's a role in that you play as a husband. You know, I told my wife we're going somewhere. I won't mention the place, but it was more of like a rural area, you know. So we're supposed to go on vacation.
Yeah.
So she packed all these not so nice things.
She said it was a safari. Who packs nice things to a safari?
You get me? She just packed. You know, I looked at those stuff like, okay, what's she packing? But the plans changed.
Mm.
And I came back and told her, actually, we're going to
a nice area,
which
without
was
bush and
yeah,
trails.
Like city metropolitan. The next thing I knew, everything in the bag went out. So I was like, whoa, what are you saying? You know, but the Lord spoke to me in that moment and said, look, the way you take your wife, the way you treat your wife also decides what she packs, you know. So if you're always taking her to McDonald's to eat, she's going to dress for McDonald's.
Yeah, but I was going to make it cute, though. I was going to make it safari cute, you know. So
safari.
Now I had to make it city cute,
yes.
You know.
So adornment also is treatment.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what you're bringing up earlier,
yeah.
That sometimes you can see the state of a marriage just by the presentation or the lack of presentation.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but not all husbands want the same presentation.
Of course,
beauty
of course.
Is not the same in any household, right? But I think that it's important to understand, and with talking about marriages today, marriages and all of that, but I think it's important just to understand that the things that happen within the home affect someone's ability to be how you want them to be,
mm-hmm.
whether it's inside or it's outside. But if I talk about the inside of the woman, God does quicken your spirit about certain things. God does say, hey, do this, do that. And that's not necessarily linked to outward appearance. It's not necessarily linked to what the husband wants, right? But if we're talking about a godly marriage, a godly institution, what God wants and what the husband wants must be pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
So God should be able to lead you and say, this is what's happening in the home and this is what needs to change. And hopefully, as those things start changing, the different needs are also met.
Yeah.
I think what's important to find a balance here is not to demonize the outward appearance, but to have it match what's happening on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about how much makeup you wear or what kind of clothes you wear, but it's about realizing that on earth as it is in heaven means that the beauty that's on the inside in terms of your relationship with God and how you walk with the Lord is what should be able to appear on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to make a parallel between Jezebel and Esther. I do that all the time. Two beautiful women who had influence. So their beauty had influence. And I repeat this all the time. Beauty is not the same everywhere. Okay.
Yes.
If you go to a different country, that will be a different appeal. If you go on a different continent, that will be a different appeal. But they had influence. And there was a way in which one person used their influence and there was a way in which another person used their influence. I think what's important is to understand what God wants to do with all those things, because everything is made for and by his glory, according to the book of Romans. So how does who you are worship the Lord in all its facets as a woman, right? You were talking about women and their stuff, and how do you remain holy in a world like this where you still walk according to the precepts of God? How is who you are and how you're living glorifying God? I think that is number one. Whether you're being a wife or a sister or a mother or a friend, as a woman, how is how we are adorning ourselves, glorifying the Lord? How is how we are conducting ourselves within our home as nurturers and lovers and caregivers? How is that worshiping the Lord? We are also so much more than our appearance. The verse is speaking about the appearance, the first half, but the second half is saying you are so much more than what you look like on the outside. And I think in this world, there's also so much emphasis. It's this crazy balance between, you know, what holiness is in certain spaces and what beauty is in other spaces and how it's mixed together. But it's about so much more than how you appear on the outside. And the world puts so much pressure on, oh, if you're not this, you will not get that. You are not what the world says you are. You are who God says you are. And I think that's the most important thing. So many women can be perverted by the world's idea of, oh, this is beauty. So someone will come to you and say, you can't be in this industry because you're not beautiful enough. Yes. The question is, what did God say about you being in that industry? It's not about, oh, you can't marry this, you can't go there. Even Leah got herself a Jacob. if we go that way, sometimes we are indoctrinated into these mindsets, I believe, as women. Oh, you can't do this because you're this, you can't do this because you're that. And I argue that to say you can do everything that God tells you to do in the perfection that he wants to do it, and not to allow the world to pervert your idea of who you are as a woman, that your attributes as a woman were given to you as a gift, whether it's the adornment or the makeup or the inner beauty that God has given you. All those things are gifts and they have to glorify the Lord.
Yep. And inner beauty for me is always something so key, because it's like a car. You know, if you buy a beautiful car, and there are certain brands that are known for giving problems, at some point you even if someone buys that car, no matter how nice it is, you're like, "Ooh, good luck," because you know they're gonna have problems. You know, it's not enough to have something that looks good on the outside, but when you go deeper, the inner beauty makes the person. And so if you are well adorned on the outside and for the outside, so, you know, whenever people see you, you look a certain way, but in your home, you are a terrible person. You know, there's just no cure for that. There's no outer beauty that can hide inner ugly, you know.
Yeah, so we just want to encourage everybody that's watching to know that you are so much more than your appearance, and you're everything God says you are.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambillies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambillies, you can just type in at the Vambillies and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambilly, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambilly. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Good.
goodbye.